No, he's not going to LAX. SFO. And there's going to be safety and protection over him, so that's going to be good. So we're doing the next year's, and okay.
Cover up the mic.
Before we pray, we have to put notices to go into the flyer, the monthly flyer, in a number of weeks in advance. All right? So, beginning the first week of November, beyond the wedding, this class, we'll be discussing emotional needs. Just as we need to eat, drink, and sleep, we also have emotional needs that are both biblical and relevant. If these needs go unmet, we lose capacity to live out the fullness of what God desires for us in relationships. Come and learn with us how we can care for others in unique and creative ways that not only ministers to them and helps to alleviate some of their hurts, but also allows us to experience the joy of biblically loving others. Think about that. What's Pastor been talking about? Last few weeks, talked about forgiveness, okay, and unforgiveness, and why hurt people hurt people is because they're not getting their needs met. All right, we're not talking about needs for food, shelter, and clothing. We're talking emotional needs. And it's just really kind of funny because this was actually put in before he did those series. All right, so I think God is trying to tell the community that we need to start addressing our needs. And that's what we're going to be looking at.
So what we're going to be talking about, actually first, I know Paul's distracted right now, but could you open us up in prayer?
Daddy, we thank you. We thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We thank you for Ron and Jean. We ask a special blessing on them, Lord, as we begin a new chapter, excuse me, in marriage class. Lord, we're going to be talking about our needs. And they're real, they're biblical, like Jim just said. Lord, let us be honest with you and with ourselves and with our loved ones about what our needs are. Let us learn from your word and from your revelation to Ron and Jean what our needs really are and healthy ways to seek getting them met, Lord. Lord, we choose to hear you in all of this, through this whole session, through today. And yeah, Lord, we just speak safety for Ron's travels, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, the first one that we're going to, there are 10 emotional needs that we're going to go over.
We're going to focus on, yeah.
That we're going to focus on over the series of what we're going to be talking about. And it's all based in Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So he met Adam and Eve's need for clothing when they sinned, right? Because a fig leaf is eventually going to what? Dry up. So he clothed them with an animal, and actually that was also the first sacrifice for sin. So God can meet our physical needs. God can meet our emotional needs as well. However, one of the things that's important to understand is God oftentimes meets those very important emotional needs through other people. So when we have a theology that says God is all I need, I don't need others. One, that's in direct contradiction to what Pastor was saying upstairs, because we live a life in community. And it also tells God that he's a liar. Because when God saw that Adam was alone, he said, that's not good. Which is a reason why God created Eve. So God is going to use my lovely wife to meet many of my emotional needs. And the one that we're going to be talking about today is acceptance.
Well, I was actually going someplace different.
Go for it.
Okay, I want to step back a second and read something. YouVersion has a listening Bible. It actually will speak to you, all right? And in that process, Ms. Lee has brought it out a couple times, by hearing the word, all right, actually listening to Scripture being spoken, to Scripture being read, gives you a totally different revelation. And I was listening to John, and this is from John 19:28. And this is at the crucifixion of Christ, all right? I'm going to step back a little bit, okay? The soldiers cast lot for the garments, all right? And it's going back 19:25. He says, but there was standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. All right. He helped make sure that his mother was cared for, all right, which I'm sure in part brought some comfort to his mother. Right? But after this, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be accomplished, said, I thirst. I thirst. And there was set there a vessel full of vinegar. So they put a sponge full of vinegar upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. And when he had received the vinegar, he said, It's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Did you guys catch anything different there? Jesus accomplished the work on the cross, right? But what was the last two things he did before he gave up his spirit? He took care of his mom, he provided for someone else, and he says, I thirst. I have a need. He expressed his own need. Right? And he knew he was going to die. I mean, gosh, it was only a little bit later he gave up his spirit. All right? Now, part of the reason why he took the vinegar, let me switch to the other verse. I'm going to go to Psalm 61, verse 13. That's. Was it, did I screw up? Psalm 61 doesn't have. I wrote the wrong verse, Ron. Which one was it?
I thought you were the one who looked it up, babe.
I understand. Oh my gosh. It wasn't 61. It, okay. What the psalm was, who's got a reference Bible? Okay. What it was, where, why he actually asked, it was because it was the scripture could be fulfilled. But in that verse, it could be 16. But in that verse, it talks about actually all the emotional needs.
Psalm 69.
Psalm 69.
I'll go there.
Thank you.
It's 69 beginning with 13. Paul, are you there?
Yeah.
Could you just go ahead and read that for us?
13?
Yeah, 69, 13 to 21.
13 to 21?
Yes.
Okay. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink.
Now, as you reflect back on 13 and 21, as you heard Paul read that, does that sound like an individual who may have a bit of a need?
Emotional needs.
What needs could you identify in that passage that this person may actually have? A need for what?
Care.
Care. A need for what else?
Comfort.
Comfort. A need for what else?
Security.
Security. A need for what else?
Love.
Sympathy. Sympathy.
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Support. How often do we read through Scripture? I'll say it. We read Scripture with a bias.
With what?
A bias.
A bias. We read Scripture with a filter. And whatever that filter is determines how we will read it and what we will read. So early on in my Christian walk, I read Scripture with a lot of, here's how you do things. Here's how you be a good Christian. Here's what you have to do. Don't, especially this, don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. That's how I read Scripture. How many of us read Scripture to try and get at the heart of individuals like David? Or can you imagine the two women who went to the tomb? They were expecting a dead body that was smelly and rotten, folks. Can you imagine what that walk must have been like for them? Can you imagine what the disciples felt as Jesus died on the cross? And what needs they may have had? Because everything was centered on him.
You know, when we look at needs and when we start looking at Scripture for that, we need to recognize, all right?
That's a different type of need.
Okay. But we need to recognize that emotional needs are cross-cultural. I don't care if you're white, yellow, pink, black, red, or purple, all right? You're going to have emotional needs. God said it's not good for man to be alone. They had everything in that garden. And Adam had relationship with God. And that's the only thing that God said it wasn't good. All right? We have emotional needs.
It also crosses all generations. So in Romanian children in an orphanage, they need that physical touch. They don't get that physical touch. So it crosses all generations, young, middle schoolers, the geeky ones, high school, whatever it is, adults, through adulthood till we pass. We all have emotional needs. It doesn't stop.
If you ever want to make someone's day, go to an old folks home. And just spend time listening to the same story repeated 90 times, all right, from the person sitting in the wheelchair, all right? And they will just, I mean, you don't have to know them. Hey, how you doing? And their day is completely changed because they don't get that, all right? And a lot of times, yeah, we'll go to the orphanages. Maybe we'll go to the nursing homes because we recognize that. But dude, you're an able-bodied adult. You should be able to get it on your own, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's going to happen if I do it on my own?
Dysfunction.
I'm just going to take it. I'm no longer a person with needs. I'm a thief.
Well, we take it from one another.
Gene, you kind of hit a nerve there. In regard to somebody in an old age home, I was probably 21, 22 years old. And I was down in Santa Cruz at the beach and boardwalk down there. And there was an old age home up across the street. It was a brick building. And there was an old man, probably in his 90s, just hanging out the window, looking at all the young kids walking by. Nobody said a word. Not a word to this person. I came up to him, maybe 100 feet, looked at the man, and I gave him a hello. I said, hi. And to this second I can remember, his face, it just smiled ear to ear. And that just touched a nerve. I mean, that's exactly, all it took was a wave. That's all
it took. It doesn't take much, you know, and I've heard it time and again. I'm just so empty. I have nothing to give. You gave that man more than a bag of gold. And all it did was this, and I think we all have energy for that.
You need a bag of gold also.
Because you still remember what it meant to you. Thank you for sharing. When we look at that, when we look at needs, and we recognize that one of the last things Jesus did on that cross was express, I mean, in that case, a physical need, but that was also so Scripture can be fulfilled, and it talked all about the emotional needs of that person beforehand, okay? It's okay to have them,
yeah.
All right?
And in fact, the admission of neediness is a humble and honest confession of our humanity. It's not a character defect. And there's many myths surrounding needs that equates them with character defects. You're so needy.
What, it's all about you? You have to be the attention seeker all the time?
Why are you so insecure? Why do I have to keep telling you how good, you know, how good you
did? You've heard that, right? I'm sure we've all heard stuff like that before. All right? The bottom line is, we have needs. We need to ask for them. We need to understand what they are. But before we do that, I hope you all have some pens, because we did not get extras. We're going to have you in a second. You're under a lot of, you know, spiritual battles. All right? It could be because the symptoms and the stuff in your cup are openings to help those spiritual battles.
If we relate it back to Pastor John's messages from the past couple weeks, the emotions, what's actually in the cup, is that need that's not being met, and emotions that are a result of that need not being met. What's coming out is the reason for the conflict with another person. Because there's a need not being met, so it's going to manifest in a particular way, which is going to cause conflict with another person. So that's what those things up top are.
Okay. So issues that might come about, digestive problems, frequent headaches, stomach aches, problems sleeping too much, not sleeping enough, having trouble going to sleep, burnout, exhaustion, obsessive compulsive behaviors, turning to alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, eating, shopping.
Why do you work so much? Why do you spend so much time at church?
Okay. Escape into activities that distract from the pain. All right. Watching your shows on TV, that type of thing. Reading a good book. Eating disorders. Feeling flat, not really feeling anything, just kind of going through life. And, you know, we're going to let you guys read through that. But if you really actually pay attention to this, I think you'll notice some things. So don't just, you know, okay, that was really good, and lay it on your counter and then use the back to write some notes on.
Keep this.
All right. Pay attention to what is being expressed. And if you're having any of those things, check what's in your cup, okay? Now, at the same time, just because you're experiencing some of this doesn't necessarily mean you have emotional disorder, you know, emotional stuff in your cup either, all right? There are some organic reasons why we might legitimately be having abdominal issues. So not everyone with irritable bowel syndrome has too much in their emotional cup, okay? You know, so just everything is with a balance, all right? One doesn't directly cause the other, but if you have this, there may be a tendency to have unmet needs in your cup that are causing these other things.
Right, and we encourage you to keep this available to you for the rest of this series, because we're actually going to be going back to this, and what we're going to be doing is hopefully through an expression of what these various emotional needs are and how to meet them in another individual, we'll be able to actually fill in that cup with some more positive stuff. And we can see some of the negative stuff being extracted from that cup, which is going to result in different behaviors. Because as your cup gets more and more full with positive emotions, what's going to come out more naturally is the fruit of the Spirit, not all the negative stuff. Make sense? All right. So make sure you have that. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about acceptance today. So Gene's going to give you another handout. And that handout is going to have two sets of five questions. And I want you to answer those on a scale of 1 to 10, as it says in the instructions. Don't think too hard about the question. Just read the question and give it a number. Okay, it's more of a gut instinct. Don't ponder for 5 minutes and think about all the times maybe I didn't do that or I did do that or something. Yeah, just a quick gut feeling, because that's where we're looking at. We're looking not for a off-the-cuff response, but the best response often is that which we just instinctively come to, and it's just one of those things where, yeah, this is where I think I fall. There is no right or wrong answer. Especially for the first five, there's definitely no right or wrong answer. It's just a measurement of how much of a need acceptance is for you as an individual. The second five, how well you address that need in others.
Maybe on that table.